Today is February 10th, 2016, and this is episode number 345 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I am both stupid and lazy. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
You're not lazy.
That's the ugliest you've ever been to me, man.
Now, just to be clear, I did that totally for comic effect.
That was fantastic.
And you're not lazy and you're not stupid. I just want to be clear about that. But it was one of those moments where the timing was perfect for the joke.
It was. It was genius, man.
And I love you enough that I figured I could get away with tossing that one out for you.
Oh, you could do far worse than that, man.
We'll see.
You could definitely do far worse than that. I got it coming, that's for sure. All righty. So, by the way, I was actually called stupid and lazy by someone,
which I find to be just absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
I get to do that, but only in jest.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All righty. So we saw this thing this week, this little presentation by a guy named Scott Galloway.
It's about 15 minutes jam-packed with all kinds of high energy information about.
It's a 15-minute long hour presentation.
Yes, that's a great way to describe it.
Scott Galloway is professor of marketing and brand strategy at the NYU Stern School of Business.
That sounds pretty impressive.
Sure. But definitely more impressive than my credentials. Of course, I'm stupid and lazy. But he did a presentation called Gang of Four, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Google. And in it, he's basically talking about how these four companies will come to increasingly dominate our lives, politics, global economy.
So in a manner of speaking, he's saying that these are the companies that are taking over the world.
Doesn't really ever imply that they're taking over the world, and he's certainly not warning.
And I don't mean that in the sense like our governments are going to be overthrown, and Apple and Google and Amazon and Facebook are going to be running all the governments.
Yeah, I don't think taking over the world was.
Taking the world by storm.
I didn't get that particular angle from his presentation at all. I think he was much more just talking about how successful and how dominant these companies are.
Okay.
In terms of doing business.
All right, I'll accept that.
Okay, well, I guess we're done then.
Great.
But he talked about some specifics. One of the things he talked about was he kept comparing their market caps to the GDP of countries. It's not really a great comparison.
No, it's fun to do though, because it gives people something else that they can use to compare with.
Yeah, but a better comparison would be revenues to GDP, because that actually is a comparison.
Yeah, but that's hard for a lot of people to wrap their heads around.
Well, but no, it just makes it means you can't use the Ukraine and Slovenia. You have to use like the Dominican Republic and, you know, other small countries, because, you know, as big as Apple is, what did Apple do in revenues of $220 million-ish? It's a good thing we prepped this show, huh?
Well, we are top men.
That we are. I'm looking.
And
Apple did what did Apple do for the year? This is ridiculous. $234 billion.
Okay.
That was fiscal 2015, which ended in the September quarter.
Yes.
At the end of September in 2015. That was Apple's fiscal year. So $234 billion. $234 billion is a lot of money, but it's Apple's market cap is over half a trillion. It's $530 billion-ish.
So that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's still a lot of money either way. But if you're gonna make the comparison, I think it'd be anyway. Whatever. That's just nitpicking. His real point is that these four companies, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Google, are just ginormous, and we've never seen such ginormity in the corporate world.
You just made that up.
Ginormity? Yes, I did. But it's kind of a stupid and lazy word to use, though.
Well, I don't know. I think it's going to be word of the year. Ginormity.
Ginormity, yes. What is Apple's market cap? I'm looking right now, by the way.
I believe it's ginormity lol.
It is some $526 billion. I'm looking to see if...
But to make it sound more exciting, it is more than half a trillion dollars.
Right. And it is more than half a trillion dollars. And it's, you know, it's down. I think Apple is worth over $700 billion some point in 2015.
It's insane.
It is. I'm checking Google's market cap. 490. Yeah, Google's actually shed some value. So Apple's still the number one company.
They're number one company again.
Apple is the number one company again, right? Google held the title for a couple of days.
Yes, mostly pedantic.
Mostly, but that's good. So, he said, at the end of the press, you got to watch this thing. It is lightning fast. It's a lot of content packed into 16 minutes and like 14 seconds, I think. Mm-hmm. And at the end, he starts talking about which of the companies is going to reach $1 trillion valuation first?
Yeah, I found that interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting, and he talks about how and I honestly forget what he said about Amazon and Facebook. Mm-hmm. But he. When he got and Google, I don't even remember what he said about Google, but what he said about Apple.
Oh, I think I remember. It was what each of the companies is going to do as they grow to get to that $1 trillion market cap.
Or has to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazon, it's acquisitions.
Oh, right.
Facebook, it's. I forgot what Facebook was.
Monetization.
Yeah, monetization.
Meaning, making all its properties actually make money for it.
Right, which increases the value of individual users as essentially a commodity for Facebook. Mm. And then Google was... Oh, man, now I can't remember what Google was.
I'm impressed you remember those two, though.
It's going to bug me.
Yeah, it's a good thing we prepped the show.
Well, top men.
Yep. And then for Apple, he said it's articulation, by which he means that Apple doesn't really have much of a mission statement. In particular, like the comparison that he made, he said, "What it's and this we actually did prep. Google's mission is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. And he said that, well, that's actually something we can measure.
Yes.
And he's right. It is something we can measure. I mean, not necessarily precisely, but it's something that can be measured. Is Google organizing the world? I mean, of course, you know, Google's real mission statement should be...
to make all the money off of us.
Yeah, to figure out how to exploit its users' lives in the most profitable manner. But that's beside the point. Facebook's mission statement is to give people the power to share and make the world more open and connected. Again, that's something you can actually sort of measure. You can, for instance, you can measure Facebook's customers.
Right. How many messages are they sending? Mm-hmm. How many countries are these customers in? Sure.
And then Amazon, you know, we actually found Amazon's mission statement was kind of hard to find. Before 2013, it appears to have been, our vision is to be Earth's most customer-centric company, to build a place where people can come to find and discover anything they might want to buy online. And then what's the version that they're using since? So with the four customers?
Yes. I lost it. I just had it and lost it. Wait, I think I found it again. You know, because top men. We seek to be Earth's most customer-centric company for four primary customer sets: consumers, sellers, enterprises, and content creators.
I like the old version better.
Yeah.
This one is a lot dry. And so that brings us to Apple's mission statement. What's Apple's mission statement?
I was hoping you'd read it to me, Brian.
Well, there isn't one.
Yeah, I know.
We could not find a mission statement for Apple. Now, our colleague at the Mac Observer and my dear friend, and I am generally speaking his biggest fan.
That'd be John Martellaro.
That would be John Martellaro. He argued that Apple does have a mission statement, and then he goes on to talk about Apple's vision.
Mm-hmm. Which is not a mission statement.
Which is not a mission statement.
And doesn't lead to something that you can actually measure.
No. And like, so here are some past mission statements that Apple has had. Apple designs Macs, I'm quoting. Apple designs Macs, the best personal computers in the world, along with OS X, iLife, iWork, and professional software. Apple leads the digital music revolution with its iPods and iTunes online store. Apple reinvented the mobile phone with its revolutionary iPhone and App Store, and is defining the future of mobile media and computing devices with iPad. And that's not a mission statement. That's a resume.
Yeah, that's a resume.
It's an about statement. And it's interesting. I mean, these are things I never thought about before. What is Apple's mission?
Well, you could be flippant and say Apple's mission is to make more money.
That's not Apple's mission.
No, it's not. You could say Apple's mission is to create intriguing and engaging new products that enhance the lives of their users.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Well, especially not since they make iTunes.
I see what you did there. Yeah. That's funny. You know, if the mission statement that I would want to project onto Apple would be something along the lines of empowering users by simplifying technology. See, even there, I'm going to fail. And you'd probably want to have something about the marriage of the humanities or the arts mm-hmm. with technology. You know, empower customers or enrich customer lives by melding I'm terrible at mission statements.
We should toss something in there about through market disrupting technologies and services, because that would sound good.
Oh, that sounds really corporate and dry, though.
Yeah, but mission statements.
But here's the deal. Apple doesn't list a mission statement right now. If you go, Apple used to have a mission statement on its investor FAQ. It's frequently asked questions. Right?
Right.
Apple does not now. They got pulled.
Which is kind of interesting.
It is It is interesting. And I mean, if the thing I read about, you know, iLife and iWork and Macs, and I mean, again, not only is it not a mission statement, it's a resume, but it's not even, it's not really current. I mean, iLife and iWork don't matter right now.
No.
You know, iPods don't matter right now. iPods are all but gone.
Yeah, that's true. You don't even see iPods displayed anymore. They're in blister packs, essentially, on the wall in Apple stores.
Yeah, you can get an iPod. They have iPod touches on, don't they?
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
But none of the
Nano and the Shuffle.
Yeah, the Nano and the Shuffle. Those aren't a big deal. I mean, Apple doesn't even mention those anymore in earnings reports.
They don't even have a tab for iPods on their website anymore.
That's right.
You have to drill down to get to iPods.
So I don't. I mean, if that is still Apple's mission statement, it shouldn't be. But I don't even think it is. And I can't believe that Apple doesn't have a mission statement displayed anywhere. It seems like the company should.
Maybe they decided to think different and not have a mission statement.
Huh.
I don't know.
You gonna stick with that?
I'm just tossing that out there. It was a fun way to get to toss in think different.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Although if you're going to use it that way, you should go ahead and say think differently.
But that's not what they do in the posters.
I prefer to imagine a silent colon.
The jokes practically write themselves.
No. Don't go down that rabbit hole. Think colon different. So think about different. That's how I prefer to think of the grammatically incorrect think different.
I just assume there's a kerning issue and the Lee got chopped off.
That could be that too.
Yeah. But I mean, at least it sounds better than got milk. That one always bugged me.
Okay. I get why it would bug you, but got milk is a great phrase. It's a great marketing phrase.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it should be, you know, grammatically correct would be have milk.
Do you have milk?
The do and the you can both be silent and still be grammatically correct. Right? Silent subjects and not silent. What's the word that you use?
Implied.
Understood.
Understood. Yes.
Yeah. Understood subjects and verbs are.
All right, I'll grant you that. That is acceptable.
Yeah, it just have milk. But yeah. Think differently would be the way to have done that.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Okay, and that said, think different was also a great marketing campaign.
Yes, it was.
It's a fantastic marketing campaign. But what the heck is Apple's mission statement? And I can't tell you what it is right now. And John's protest to the contrary, he can't either.
Right. What is Apple doing that can be measured as a gauge of success in a similar way to what we can do with Google, Facebook, and Amazon?
Well, to be fair, it's not Apple's responsibility to provide a mission statement that can be measured. That is an arbitrary way to actually look at it. And Scott Galloway's point here was not to say that Apple, needs to have such a mission statement. His only point is, if you're going to look at which company is going to be worth a trillion dollars first, here are the things that I think are going to, and this is by I mean Scott Galloway, that I think will need to happen before those companies are worth $1 trillion. Right. And so his picking his picking of articulation for Apple is that, in his opinion, if you the Apple needs to make their mission clear and continue to execute it, and that's simply what's going to make Apple worth $1 trillion.
Yeah, he made a comment about how Apple is paying what did he say, a silence tax or something like that, because or penalty, because they aren't offering up that articulated thing that people can latch on to. And if they did, Apple would jump up to $1 trillion very quickly, just simply by doing that, is what he implied. Actually, no, I think he just flat out said that.
By the way, I'm saluting your memory.
Oh, thank you.
On this stuff, there's a lot of information in that.
Yeah, it was flying by pretty fast.
Yep. He actually says at the beginning, it's like, I don't have time for applause. It's because people were clapping about something he said. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty funny.
It was funny. Yeah.
And the first thing I thought of was Jeb Bush saying recently, please applaud.
Please clap.
Please clap. Yeah, that was it. Please clap. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Seeing that video... It doesn't matter what your political stance or philosophy is. That was just a sad, sad moment to watch.
It was a sad moment to watch, especially when you contrast it to this, you know, this university professor who's like saying, I don't have to, you know, I don't need your applause. I don't have time. I don't have time for you to applaud. Got too much stuff to go over. Let's go. Anyway, it is interesting, and we've talked about the silence thing. We've talked about how Apple, because I wrote a couple of weeks ago, I wrote a piece saying that the reason why, and this was when Google briefly had the number one valuation title. Mm-hmm. One of the things I said in that is that Wall Street believes that Google can grow, and Wall Street doesn't believe that Apple can grow, and that a big part of Wall Street not believing that Apple can grow is Apple's secrecy, which for so long was such a big benefit to the company, has reached Apple's gotten to a size where it's ability to more or less keep projects secret, although we're seeing less and less of that now, is definitely something that's holding Apple back in terms of investor value.
Yeah, without clear information about what the company's doing, investors are reticent. You think that's a good word to use? Reticent to just blindly follow along. They want to have something more tangible to base their investments on.
Right. And part of that, of course, is the legacy of Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, there was with Apple coming out with a hit every few years, there was a sort of faith-based belief that Apple could keep doing it, that Steve Jobs could keep doing that. And then when he went away, when Steve died, mm-hmm.
When he went to the puppy farm.
Oh, really? You're gonna, really?
I don't know. Anyhow, when Steve died.
I don't know you, sir. Anyway, when Steve died, we had this weird, like this weird thing happen with investors. It was like, you know, Apple can't release anything new. And this was people were putting it was weird because people were saying that in the first 12 to 18 months after Steve Jobs died. And they were saying that about Tim Cook. Tim Cook has no vision. The company can't innovate anymore. And the stupid thing about that, the stupid and lazy thing about that was they were saying so during a period which anything that Apple released would have had Steve Jobs' involvement. Mm-hmm. And they're also somehow pretending that Apple was releasing a new disruptive product every 2 to 3 years, which isn't the case.
No, they've never done that.
No, the closest thing that Apple did on that kind of time frame would have been the iPhone to the iPad, which was a little bit less than 3 years. But those products are related.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the development of the iPhone stemmed out of development in a tablet.
Right.
So, I mean, anyway, there was a weird disconnect from reality that pundits and some folks on Wall Street, some analysts, had about Apple and about the company's ability or lack of ability to disrupt. And we're seeing it now with, so Apple, of course, did release the Apple Watch.
Did you catch the stats that he tossed out about Apple Watch? I can rattle some stuff off for you.
But rattle some stuff off for us.
Okay. So he talked about how people are calling Apple Watch a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that before the Apple Watch was released, Samsung had 75% of the smartwatch market.
Wearables, I think.
Or excuse me, the wearables market. Yes. And then after the Apple Watch was released, almost overnight, Apple had 75% of the entire wearables market, and Samsung and everyone else was left to fight over what little bit was left over.
Yeah, well, I think that line actually came from Smartphone Profits, where he said that Apple was making 74% of the smartphone hardware profits, and Google was making 13%-ish, and everybody else is left to fight over the losses.
The fight over the losses part did come from the smartphone part. You are correct. But the other number, 75% belonging to Samsung, and then overnight it goes to Apple, that's definitely about smartwatches.
Yeah, that was definitely about the, yeah, for sure. For sure it was. And then he's right. Apple Watch has been a success. I will argue for the 50th time that it's lacking killer functionality. But it's that by no means has anything to do with whether or not it's been a success. The device has been a success.
Oh, yeah. It's very much so. I would say clearly a success, but not clearly, because there's a lot of people that think that Apple failed with Apple Watch.
Right. There are a lot of people that think that, and they're welcome to think that, I suppose. But what's going to be next? The Apple Watch rumors started getting pretty intense about, a year before it was released.
Yeah.
That's when we started getting some fairly concrete stuff about Apple Watch. But we don't really have any concrete new product rumors. We've got the Apple Car, but that's off in the future.
Right.
We've got Apple TV, but that's been canceled. We've got an Apple TV streaming service, but they can't get any deals. We've got something to do with VR and the hiring of hundreds of people to do something with VR, but that's off in the future too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a relative. That's actually almost brand new in terms of rumors.
Yep.
So this is why Wall Street doesn't see Apple's ability to grow, because Wall Street doesn't have the same faith and Tim Cook's ability to usher in innovation as it did in Apple. Now they, at any given time, they had exactly the same amount of information to make those judgments by.
Yeah, you mean between when Tim Cook is running the company versus Steve Jobs running the company?
Correct. But Steve Jobs had already earned the faith and Tim Cook is not.
Well, one of the other things that he said was that Tim Cook is not a good storyteller.
I don't know that I agree with that. Do you agree with that?
I think he's a different storyteller compared to Steve Jobs. And I think people loved getting wrapped up in the reality distortion field that Steve generated. And they loved going along for the ride. Tim doesn't do that. But no, Tim tells not. A good story. He's a compelling speaker. And you can feel his belief in what they're doing when he's talking.
Well, Tim is at his best speaking when it's a one-on-one interview.
Yeah, he does some really great stuff.
He is less good at doing keynotes, although he is dramatically improved.
Yeah, I will agree completely.
But he is not. He's definitely better when he's one-on-one because he's part of it is I think so. You know, I've long argued that Tim Cook is the most careful speaker in the tech executive world, in the world of topic tech executives. Right, he's the most careful speaker.
He's like the exact opposite of T-Mobile.
John
Lafarge, is that it?
No, what's his name? Laguerre.
John Laguerre.
Lafarge, where'd you get that one?
I don't know. That's the guy that takes care of the engines on the Enterprise. No, that's Lafarge.
Who are you? Anyway, so Tim Cook is very, very careful. Not Steve Jobs was very careful, but in a very different way. Tim Cook always gives the feeling that even if he's only had a second and a half to think about the question being asked him, that his answer is incredibly well formulated. Mm-hmm. He always gives that impression. And I don't know how much of that is because he's a good speaker, because he's a quick thinker, or because he actually has spent time thinking about his answers long before he was ever asked the question. I think it's
a combination of all three.
It could well be.
I mean, he always seems so well prepared.
He always seems incredibly
and very confident.
Yes. And when he, you know, we've written about, John Martellaro has written about Apple's controlled leaks, mm-hmm. where they pick someone in the media and then they give them the story that they want out there. Tim Cook does a form of open controlled leak, right? Like I, and to pat myself on the back, I said that Tim Cook and Steve Jobs were telegraphing that they would compete with netbooks with an iPod Super Touch. Mm-hmm. And it's because, you know, because of the things that they were telling analysts that who were asking them about what's their netbook strategy going to be. And they were telling them, well, netbooks stink, but people want that sort of the people want something that they can use on the go, but we're going to do something different.
And then you coined the term iPod Super Touch,
which Apple did not use. Apple used the word iPad.
Yeah, I'm assuming they chose not to use iPad Super Touch or iPod Super Touch because they knew they'd end up having to pay you some sort of licensing fee.
That's probably
it. It was done out of spite.
No doubt. But there have been plenty of other times when, you know, Tim Cook says things like, TV is interesting. Mm-hmm. We believe that. What did he say about the wrist? He didn't say that the wrist was interesting. He might have actually used that phrase once, but he would talk about how. What did he say about the wrist?
I think he said we're very interested in the wrist, or there's a lot of possibility. I can't remember what he said now, but he totally telegraphed Apple Watch.
Yeah, so here's a quote from All Things D, back when All Things D was a thing. I think there are some positive points in the product. He's being asked about Google Glass. I think it's probably more likely to appeal to certain vertical markets. I wear glasses because I have to. I don't know a lot of people that wear them that don't have to. They want them to be light and unobtrusive and reflect their fashion. I think from a mainstream point of view, glasses as wearable computing devices are difficult to see. I think the wrist is interesting. The wrist is natural.
That's what it was. The wrist is interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking he'd said something else, but this was, you know, this was effectively one big giant open controlled leak. He said the same thing about VR. The VR was interesting, that it's not going to be a niche.
Right.
You know, so he gives us these very specific and well articulated hints that Apple is interested in a particular space, and that they're going to be approaching it. Like just looking at them, what they said about netbooks, about how, you know, that you know, what Apple, what he and Steve Jobs are both saying is that we get why people want netbooks. We just think that netbooks are a terrible solution for the reason why people want those netbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the philosophy Apple's worked under for a long time, thanks to Steve Jobs, which is you don't give people what they want, you give them what they need.
That was actually Joss Whedon's phrase.
Why am I conflating everyone today?
I don't know. Joss Whedon said, I give people what they need, not what they want. Or I don't give people what they want, I give them what they need. This is after he's like killed some awesome character. Because that's what he does.
That's exactly what he does.
Be that as it may, what he's saying about wearables here with this 2013 statement. This is before the Apple Watch was announced, obviously. I think there are some positive points in the product. I think it's going to going to appeal to certain vertical markets. He says people don't wear them because they want to. They wear glasses because they have to. I want them to be light and obtrusive and reflective fashion. Like he's basically saying wearable computing is a solid idea. It's a solid concept. It's something that people want. But the things that are being done to address that right now aren't going to cut it. And he was right.
Yes.
Google Glass is all but dead.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Google shut down their social forums for Glass. And it's pretty much dead.
It's pretty much dead. But I think the risk is interesting. The risk is natural. So careful speaker, that was my point. He's a careful speaker. They tell us when they're going to be doing stuff a lot, but he always does so in such a very controlled and indirect way that he just reveals the exact information that he wants and no more. And that's the thing that investors can't see what Apple's going to do, because the things that Apple tends to do are the things that people don't see, and that holds the stock down. And going back to Scott Galloway, the thing that could change that for Apple would be articulating a mission, and not just articulating a mission statement, right? Articulating an actual mission.
Yeah, and I question whether or not Apple is willing to do that.
Apple should have a mission statement. Apple really should have a mission statement. I'm kind of shocked that it doesn't, or that it doesn't have it posted. I mean, Apple may well have something they're using internally, but it should be public.
Yeah, I agree. It should be public. And yet, here we are. We dug through so much stuff and could not find a mission statement for Apple anywhere. Yeah. That was actually kind of surprising.
Yeah. So I posted on my blog, GeekTales, TALES. Mm-hmm. I posted a review of Death Wish Coffee. Did you catch the Death Wish Super Bowl commercial?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either. That's the funny thing. I got the I'm not sure how Dave knew about it, but Dave had gotten a hold of some Death Wish coffee and Instagrammed it, and I just thought that looked awesome and I needed to have some, and so Dave was kind enough to send me a pound of it, And I did a review while other people were watching the Super Bowl. I was writing my review of Death Wish Coffee for my blog.
Cool.
And it turned out that Death Wish actually had a Super Bowl spot. This was the competition that Intuit ran. And Death Wish won the competition, and Intuit bought the company commercial space during the Super Bowl.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. I still haven't seen the commercial. And I had no idea that I was writing about something that was being debuted, that was being nationally debuted on the Super Bowl, which is kind of funny. But anyway, I use my personal blog to write about stuff that's not Apple and technology related.
Like Death Wish Coffee. Why do they call it Death Wish?
Because it has a high caffeine content. They claim it's twice the caffeine level of normal coffee. And they say that they do this by selecting their beans for high caffeine content, and that they also have a roasting process that maximizes the caffeine content. I don't know if any of that's true, but the whole point is that if you're drinking this, you have a death wish because it's just got so much caffeine. It's all marketing.
So you had a cup during the Super Bowl, and you're still up and running off that one cup.
No, I did have. My daily iced latte before the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and was writing about, like I said, I was writing about it for this review during the Super Bowl. It's as I said in the review, it's I definitely felt a little more of a kick, but it wasn't like something that put me, you know, into like overdrive or anything.
That's actually kind of disappointing because I have this image in my head where you drink a sip and you're like, nothing. And then you have a big gulp and you're like, nothing. And all of a sudden your eyes bulge out of your head. You jump up and you start running around in circles, turbo speed around your kitchen.
Fair enough. Didn't happen for me. I've had it every day. What is this? We're recording on Wednesday. So I had my fourth Death Wish cup of coffee today, actually espresso. I don't do coffee. Wrote about it on my blog. I use my blog to write about things that don't include Apple. So I write about the novels that I'm trying to sell, TV shows that I like, coffee apparently that I like to drink. I think my next blog entry is going to be my tips for making the best iced latte.
I think that sounds great.
You don't drink lattes though. You don't drink coffee.
No. No, but it doesn't mean I can't enjoy reading about these things.
Well, the irony is that you have a blog, too.
About coffee.
About coffee.
Or at least coffee shops.
Coffee shops, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Fresh Brewed Tales. And we both have a...
Oh, my God. I can't even get my own blog right. It's not Geek Tales, T-A-L-E-S. It's T-E-L-L-S.
Oh, I just thought you were having a diction issue.
I'm having a stroke issue, apparently. It's G-E-E-K-T-E-L-L-S. Tells as in a poker tell. Geek tells. It's a tell, not a tail. Good guy.
Well, at least you have your looks.
Oh, well, I'm in trouble. So you have Fresh Brewed Tales.
Yes.
All about your adventures in coffee shops.
Yes. And right now, I have one post ready to go, but I need to put the graphic together for it. And then I have another post where I've done the graphic, but I need to write the post to go with it. So I have two posts half done. And so what I do is I just watch what happens in coffee shops. And there's weird stuff that happens, so I write about it.
You don't have a post since June 7th of 2015.
I know.
What?
Don't worry. That's about to change.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I have the two half done. Well, the one is more than half done because I've written the post and I have the graphic drawn. And I just need to move it from my iPad over to my Mac so I can get it sized right and put it online. Maybe I'll do that later today. How's that sound?
Yeah, why don't you do that later today? Because I love Fresh Brewed Tales. Although, can I subscribe yet?
You've been able to subscribe for a long time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Where do I do that?
It's right on the page somewhere.
I'm not seeing it.
Hold on.
La la la. Da, ta, ta,
top
ta,
ta. Men.
We are top men.
All right.
Not seen anywhere, man.
Oh, what happened?
Subscribe.
I have a graphic that's not loading now. And where'd the subscribe? Oh, man. I know what happened.
Can you fix this?
Oh, yeah. I can totally fix this.
Or am I actually subscribed, but I haven't gotten any notifications because you haven't actually updated?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, there. Yep. I did a plugin update, and I know it's gone wrong. I can fix this.
You can fix this because you're becoming a WordPress expert. So in the meanwhile, if you saw the Death Wish Coffee during the Super Bowl and you're curious about it, I reviewed it, and I reviewed it for flavor and taste and pulling it as espresso. And you can find that at geektells.com, and you can find out about Jeff's coffee adventures from last year.
Soon to be from this year.
On Fresh Brewed Tales. And that's where we are.
Yeah.
Okay. Bill Gates.
Yeah. How about the Beatles?
Bill Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates. So tell me about Bill Gates.
Yeah, I used to be cranky about Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I used to be pretty cranky about Mr. Gates, and because I always considered him as I was cranky that Microsoft got credit for being innovative when it was not, and I was cranky that Microsoft, that the Bill Gates acumen for business was being translated in the general public's mind as acumen for innovation. Right. And that always bugged me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That always bugged me. But in the years since he stepped down as CEO of Microsoft, he is still chairman.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's not ready to completely walk away from the company.
No, not at all. And actually, and I'm lying because John Thompson is chairman.
Is he just a consultant for the company now? Because he was doing that.
Let's see here. It's a good thing we prepped the show. Bill Gates, Microsoft. Let's see what his current role is. You know, Bill Gates spends most of his time these days working with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Yeah, I think his real legacy 100 years from now isn't going to be Microsoft. It's going to be his philanthropic efforts, and Microsoft will be a side note to that.
Yes, that is probably, yeah, I think that's probably true. Well, I don't know. Because Microsoft did accomplish a lot.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot more that he's going to do as a philanthropist.
Yeah, what's his current? Currently richest person in the world. Yep. What is his current title? Microsoft. Need faster internet.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah, what is up with that? Gil Bell. He's certainly still on the board. Doesn't have any day-to-day operations right now. Didn't have a day-to-day role. So he's just on the board. He's a board member. Probably okay. one of, let's just say, that one of the more important board members.
I think that's a safe assumption.
Right. So the work he's been doing at the foundation is amazing. And maybe it's because, you know, the platform wars don't matter anymore. And no, Apple's business model, the whole widget business model of making the software and the hardware has been vindicated. And because it's been vindicated, I'm not as cranky about Microsoft's success in the computer world. And of course, we can extend that to Microsoft getting its rear end handed to it in the mobile space. Right. So I don't feel the need to be cranky about Microsoft anymore, because Microsoft is basically falling on comparative hard times.
Right. And I'm glad you said comparative, because when you're talking about companies that have this level of value, hard times is definitely a relative term.
Yeah, I don't even know what you said, because I just pulled out my headphone jack.
Oh, well.
Something about Microsoft and comparative and awesome.
Yeah, so just assume everything I said was brilliant and you missed the most important part of the show.
Yeah, it's probably the most insightful thing you've ever said.
It may very well be.
Right. So, and then there's also the fact that Steve Jobs himself softened on Bill Gates in his last years. And he did. I mean, you know, there was a lot of times when Steve would say things like, you know, Microsoft has no taste. And he insulted Microsoft a lot. Mm-hmm. And by extension, he insulted Bill Gates a lot. Mm-hmm. But.
Of course, he directly insulted Steve Ballmer.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah. But okay, now that's interesting. He would directly insult Steve Ballmer, but only indirectly insult Bill Gates.
Well, there were times when he would insult Bill Gates. Going back, if you go back far enough, there'd be times when Steve got on Bill. But they did that joint appearance. Remember the joint appearance they did during All Things D?
Yes.
It was a joint interview. And you know, this was one of the last interviews that Steve did. And, you know, he's clearly ill. Mm-hmm. And he's up there talking about stuff, and they're talking about early days, and they're talking about current days, and the animosity seemed to have been gone between them. And there's no doubt that I had long bought into Steve's antipathy towards Microsoft because I admired Steve so much. Mm-hmm. And in that interview, Steve referenced the Beatles song, The Two of Us. And I forget the specifics about what he said, but it was something along the lines of, my relationship with Bill reminds me of the song The Two of Us, because there's things that only the two of us have been through, and only the two of us, you know, really have any context for. Mm-hmm. And cut to a couple of weeks ago, and Bill Gates does a Desert Island Disc interview with the BBC, where the BBC interviews, you know, famous people, be they politicians, business executives, politicians, athletes. I think I said politicians twice, but athletes, whatever.
Right.
And ask them what songs they would take to a desert island and why. And one of Bill Gates' selections was Two of Us. And he said it was because Steve picked it during that interview.
That's really cool.
I found that really, I found it cool. I found it interesting.
Yeah, I think that that Bill had a lot of respect for Steve. Well, still does. Just because Steve isn't around anymore doesn't mean he can't respect him. And I think on some level they were friends.
Well, no, I think they became friends again. They were certainly friends in the early days, because Steve needed Bill.
Yes,
he needed Microsoft to make software for their for Apple's computers. Mm-hmm. And they became unfriends when Bill Gates decided to take what he had learned from Steve from early access to the Macintosh, and they decided to try to copy it with Windows, and that's when Steve went ballistic.
Yep. But then near the end of his life, Steve had changed quite a bit, and you're right, he softened up to Bill again.
He did. And they They did. So in addition to that interview that they did on stage together, Walter Isaacson was on hand for a meeting when Bill Gates came over to talk to Steve at Steve's house.
Mm-hmm.
And this would have been just a few months before he died.
Right.
For obviously Steve died. And, you know, in that description, the Walter Isaacson's description of that meeting was very interesting to me.
It was, so that would be much later in the book. To one of the parts that I didn't get to.
Yes, one of the parts that you didn't get to but should have gotten to.
Hey, I saw the movie. I really liked the movie.
The movie's on iTunes now.
I know.
Yeah, we were going to mention it. I'll get that posted today.
Okay.
We were going to.
Yeah, we were going to mention that. You can, if you missed the Steve Jobs movie in the theater, which you
that Apple hates.
Yeah. You can get it on iTunes now.
Despite the fact that Apple hates it.
Well, yeah. It's interesting how Apple picks and chooses what it's going to block.
It's true, yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, in my opinion, Apple shouldn't be blocking much of anything.
Yeah, I agree.
On iTunes.
You know what's not on iTunes? I'm totally going down a rabbit hole. Dogma. I love that movie. Yeah.
It's not on iTunes.
It's not on iTunes. So I thought, well, that's really lame. So I went over to Amazon Prime. No. You can't even buy a new DVD. So apparently Dogma's just not in print.
I wonder.
I'm assuming it's a licensing thing.
Yeah, but I wonder why. I wonder who's quibbling over that.
I don't know. But it bums me out because I lost my copy of Dogma, and I discovered this because I thought I'll just get a digital copy this time. Nope. So I just don't have Dogma.
You know what movie I want to own and can never find anywhere is a movie called Drive.
Drive. I've heard of this.
It's Mark. Well, it's probably because I've only because I've talked about it. It stars Mark Dacascos. It's a martial arts film.
Oh, of course. Yes, you've told me about it. That's why it's familiar. Yes.
Yeah, and I can't find it with because it I don't think it ever came out on Blu-ray. It's a great movie. It's a '90s martial arts film. It was funny. 1997. It's funny and. Can't find it anywhere.
You know, okay, when you said Drive, the first thing that popped in my mind, and then I realized, no, wrong movie, Corvette Summer.
Well, there was a TV show called Drive 2 that was produced by, Drive, it had star Nathan Fillion.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That didn't last very long.
Did not last very long. Got canceled, and it was being produced by Drive TV show. Well, we're just, like, totally rabbit-holing it up.
I know.
Starred Nathan Fillion, which is one of the reasons why I was watching it, but it was produced by Tim Minear, who was from The X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about X-Files before the show.
Yes, we were.
And yes. But he also went on to work with a fellow named Joss Whedon at Firefly.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
Yeah. You know, Tim Minear. I'm a big Tim Minear fan. Every show he has done since has been canceled, actually, including Firefly. But they've all been canceled, and most of them were really good. Drive was really, really interesting. Got canceled. Not to be mistaken for Drive from 1997, the movie starring Mark Dacascos.
Right. Not to be confused at all with Corvette Summer starring Mark Hamill.
Not to be confused even a little bit with Corvette Summer.
No. Except both have cars. Took us down a rabbit hole. And we're out of time.
Thank goodness.
It is probably for the best.
Yeah.
I know how to fix this, Brian. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
You can follow my non-Apple stuff at geektells.com, T-E-L-L-S. And you can follow Jeff at freshbrewedtales.com. And our content for this show is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. That's all our Apple and technology related stuff. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly and the bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
Seriously, you're not lazy.